to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria. He has the idea of being in the center, being in the middle, being up front and the focal point, but also has the idea of being in control. And I thought about the times in the Bible, the New Testament, where Jesus Christ was in the midst. We think about, no doubt, him being on the cross, and the Bible tells us that where they crucified him and two others with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. You know, even in our Savior's death, in his crucifixion, as he lay there on the cross dying for our sins, he was in control. We find over in Matthew, or actually in Luke, when Mary and Joseph is coming back from Jerusalem from the feast of the Passover, and they travel, and the young Jesus, 12 years old, is back. The Bible says he's tarrying behind, and they search for him. They look for him for 3 days. They find him not, but they found him 3 days later sitting in the midst of the doctors and both hearing and asking questions, and all that heard him were astonished at his answers. You know, he's in the midst of the cross, of his death. He was in the midst of being a young 12-year-old boy, astonishing the scribes, the Pharisees, the doctors of their theology. And he's in the midst of you and I tonight. But my question is he in control of your life? It says that he comes, or he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, verse 12. And as he entered into the certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show thyselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There were not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Father, we thank you tonight for the word of God. We thank you, Father, for your blessings upon the day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come to the house of God. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to assemble ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I pray tonight that you would speak to our hearts. I pray tonight, Father, that you would help us, and Father, you would speak, and as you're in the midst, Father, that you would be in control, that you would help us and guide us and direct us, and Father, let us submit to your authority tonight. We bless you and we love you. We ask these things in your precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 17. We find that he's traveling to Jerusalem. He comes through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he meets 10 men that are lepers, that are unclean, that have been cast aside, forgotten about. Society has overlooked them, and Christ meets them in their peril. You know, there's a difference between praise and thanksgiving. We find that praise is the loftier of the two. Praise is something that, being greater, is more higher. It is loftier of thanksgiving. We praise God for who he is. We praise God for his holiness. We praise God for his righteousness. We praise God for him being just. We praise God for his gracious. We praise him for his mercy. And we praise him tonight because he is God. He is worthy to be praised. However, we thank him for those answered prayers. We come to Christ tonight. We thank him for calming those problems and storms in our life. We thank Him for family and food and clothing and being able to come to the house of God. But tonight we find one that not only thanks Christ, thanks Jesus, but he comes and praises Him. What an example that should be to you and I tonight. The Bible says in Psalms 92, "It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises unto His name to the Most High." You know, how can we come to the house of God tonight? Come to this place of refuge, His sanctuary, a place of worship, and looking back and not saying how good and gracious our Savior has been to us. David penned down, and he said in Psalms 35, "I will give thanks unto the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people." I think tonight we have a lot to thank him for and a lot to praise him for. We find in 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says the sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is law. But thanks to be to God who which gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a good thing to give thanks. It's a good thing to give praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what we find this one Samaritan Gentile doing. He asked a question, actually two questions, in verse number 17. The Bible says, "And Jesus answered, said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? He asked two questions. And let me go on record tonight. I want to thank God. And I want to praise God for saving me and being good to me and all His bountiful blessings and promises and for Him being God. But I want to be the one like this one. I want to be in that 10%. I want to be that one that doesn't take it for granted, that's not casting His blessings aside and come and give this praise and thanksgiving. I want to forsake all as He did, humbling Himself. Leaving the 9 and coming back to Christ and giving Him the glory and thanks that He deserves. I'm not sure, Pastor, if this is metaphoric of the church. I don't know if it's metaphoric of the congregation, but we see that there's only one that returns. He asked the question, where are the 9? God was good to the 10. God's been good to the hundreds and the thousands and the 10,000s. But where are the masses that come and praise and thank God? I believe each of us tonight can look in these verses and pull out some things in these verses that we can come and thank, we can come and praise, we can come and cast our blessings and our thoughts and our gratitude to Christ for what He's done for us. I believe these same things that we find in this text are some things that will apply to you and I tonight. Number one, I want to see that Jesus Christ, He came for a purpose. In verse 11, it says, "And it came to pass as He went to Jerusalem that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." It says He went to Jerusalem. There's a purpose surrounding our Savior's journey in the text. He's on His way to Jerusalem and He passes through Samaria in the midst of Galilee and He finds these 10 men. He went to Jerusalem. He came for a reason. There was one purpose. There was one cause. You see, Christ was going to Jerusalem. He was going to Calvary. He was going to the cross. He was going to march up Golgotha. He was going to lie on that cross and maybe appreciation for you and I tonight. He was there dying in our place, and He went to the cross for a purpose. I'm thankful for this purpose tonight. I'm thankful for the cross tonight. He had a bunch of lepers on His mind as He was going to the cross. Let me back up and say, He had you and I on His mind as He was going to the cross. I'm thankful for this purpose, this emblem that of suffering and shame that we find that many wear around their necks as emblems. You find it hanging and dangling from the rearview mirrors of many cars. But I want to say tonight that old rugged cross has a wonderful attraction to me, for it was the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it on dark Calvary. That's His purpose. He's coming through Samaria. He's coming through Galilee to go to Jerusalem to die on an old rugged cross. Out of all the ways that Christ could have gave His life, all the ways he could have purchased our salvation. The Son of God, Jesus Christ the righteous, the Lamb of God, this Holy One came to hang on a cross. That was his purpose, to seek and to save sinners which are lost. Listen to Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant. And when he was made in the likeness of man, being found in fashion of man, he humbled himself and came obedient to death, even the death of the cross. That was his purpose. And on his purpose, he meets 10 lepers on his way to the cross. I think about this purpose tonight. There's a purpose that you're here. There's a purpose that Christ had you come for, whatever it may be, reason that you, it's just routine, it's just something you do on Sunday night, maybe you were invited, but there's a divine purpose that you're here tonight. You may be standing afar off like these men. You may be needing something. You may be down and dry and need something refreshed. You may be hurt, needing healing. You may be there and run down and needing being lifted up. But like these 10 men, when they lifted up their voice, they elevated their voice, Christ heard their prayer. The Bible says they lifted up their voices. It means to elevate. It means to raise up or to pick up high. But not only the voice, but it means hands. I can see them far off as Christ is passing by in the midst, being in control, and them waving their hands, them shouting and saying, Jesus, have mercy on me. It was the purpose that he came. The purpose that you're here tonight. Whatever your need is, you can lift your hands. You can lift your voice. You can praise him for all he's done for you, or you can come to this altar and he'll hear your cry. He came for a purpose. I want to see number two. He came for the people. Verse 12. As he entered into the certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. 10. The number of perfect completion. The Bible number of perfect roundness or completion. We think of the Ten Commandments, God's completed law. Those 10 plagues in Egypt, God's completed judgment against Egypt. It's completion. But here he finds 10 men that were lepers, cast out by everyone. He says they stood afar off, separated from God, separated from their family, required to dwell outside the camp, dwell outside the city. The village is the word. It means home. They were required to be stood off from afar. Their clothes had to be rent. And this mask mandate that we're made to wear a mask is not something new. They had to wear a covering over their front lip. And they had to cry, unclean, unclean. But we find Jesus came for the people. These 10 men, they were separated because of leprosy. They were separated and cast out. They were left all alone. There was nothing attractive about them. There was nothing pretty or make you want to come in contact with them. There was nothing they had to offer. Yet Jesus, on his way to the cross, in the midst being in control, came to where they were. You see, Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. It was foreordained before the time ever was that it was to go to the old rugged cross. It was not plan B, or it was not a second thought. It was his purpose and it was his plan. Yet, during this purpose and during this plan, he meets these 10 men. He saw 10 dying. He saw 10 being in hell, being in tormented, separated from God. He saw 10 men being lost for eternity, yet he went to where they were to meet them. I'm glad Jesus is still in the meeting people business. We find one of these lepers was a Samaritan. He was a Gentile. We know Jews would have nothing to do with Gentiles. And they would definitely not have anything to do with lepers. But Jesus, in verse number 12, said he met them. He met them in their problem, in their calamity. He met them in their dying state. He meets them, and I'm glad he's still meeting people today. 2,000 years on the other side of the cross of this story, he didn't meet a leper in me, but he found one that was covered in sin. He didn't meet someone that was outside the gate or outside the village, but he met someone that was outside the family of God. On this side of the cross, he met a bunch of sinners. He met our needs. He met in our lowest estate. He met us when we were all alone, and he's still meeting people today. One night on my knees at an altar of prayer, Jesus passed by, and he rescued me there. I called on his name while he was drawing nigh, and what a wonderful change when Jesus passes by. I'm glad he's still passing by today. I'm glad he's still in the midst, and he can meet you, whatever need you have tonight. Verse 13, it says, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He's meeting these people, all types of people, people of sorrowful of estate, people that are suffering, people that are sick. That's the reason he came, to meet those that are sick. The Bible says they that be not whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. His purpose, he came to die on a cross. But on that cross, he's meeting so many people. He's meeting needs. Aren't you glad tonight he's met your needs? He's seen you in your low estate. He's heard your prayer. We can come and thank him as this one does, and praise and offer thanksgiving. The purpose that he came, the people he came to, I see, but now the plea that he hears. Verse 13, it says, and they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, have my Master, have mercy on us. Let me note, those that expect help from this Christ, this one called Jesus, we must view him as Master. Because when he's Master, he'll be Lord. When he's Master, he'll be your Savior. And when he's Master, he'll be in control. I noticed their problem. I noticed their plea. Their problem was leprosy. They were dying. It was a death sentence. They were decaying. We find the plea was, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. But they didn't ask for a cure. They didn't ask to be healed. They didn't ask, Father, to take this dreaded disease from me. They ask for mercy. Whatever you have need of tonight, Jesus' mercy is far enough. Jeremiah states this mercy, Lamentations 3:22. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, if we go to bed tonight, and if and when we wake up tomorrow morning, God's mercy, his compassion will be enough. This mercy, it's the idea of compassion. It's shown, and we find and think of the two blind men that were on the wayside begging, and they cry to Jesus, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. The multitude said, rebuked them. They told them to hold their voice, but the Bible says that they cried the more, have mercy on us. The point is tonight that he hears our plea. It's not how we pray. It's not our words. It's not how we pronunciate. It's not how great of an orator we are. But God will hear your cry. He'll hear your need from the cry of your heart. Number 16, in the red back hymnal, I know he heard my prayer. He knows my every care. He gives to me the blessed victory. Oh, yes, I feel him now. My loyalty I vow. I know my Savior heard my prayer. Whatever your prayer is, whatever prayer may have been answered, I'm glad he can hear and we can come and thank and praise him for it. Jesus heard these prayers. He heard their plea. And the Bible says one fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. They said, Jesus, Master. The New Testament word for master is teacher. It's the word rabbi, the great one. And here in Luke 17, though, it has a different meaning. It has the idea of the one that can change everything. Is that not Jesus Christ? When you were lost and undone, he picked you up out of the miry pit, saved you from your sins, and changed everything about you. Behold, all things are become new. He's the overseer is the word. The captain, the ruler is the word. And he comes to the people. He came for a purpose. He hears their plea. But notice in verse 14, he sends them to this priest. In verse 13, they cry saying, have mercy on us. And his response is in verse number 14, go show thyself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. The Jewish priest was the only one that could proclaim and announce one that was sick, one that was unclean, to be clean. He could pronounce and proclaim these lepers as being once dirty, but now clean and cured. But I noticed these lepers, these outcasts, I believe may have had more faith than many of us. They had the faith to leave the presence of Jesus as a leper and just start walking in faith to the priest. As they turned and walked in faith, something began to happen. Verse 14, it says, and as they went, they were cleansed. It means to be made free from defilement or to be purified. Once dirty, rotten, dying, decaying, skin peeling and flaking off, now they're spotless. In isolation no more. That inward pain, I believe, has been removed. The sores and the swelling have disappeared, and now they're on their way to the priest. But there's a problem. One's a Samaritan. 10, we find, had leprosy. He sends them to the Jewish priest, but one was a Samaritan, a Gentile, not considered of the Jewish race. And no good Jew, no rabbi, no master of this day would ever send a Gentile to a Jewish priest. What was he to do? Where could this Gentile find a priest? No doubt, the Samaritans had their own priest. They had their own worship. But Jesus, the lawgiver, would never send a Gentile to a Jewish priest. So where could he find that priest? Where could he go? And who could pronounce and proclaim him clean? Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. He turned back, this Samaritan, to give Jesus thanks, to give Jesus praise, and to give him glory for what he'd done for him in his life. And he found, I believe, a better priesthood than the 9 others. You see, he found the great high priest. Hebrews 7:24. But this man, because he continued forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for him. Here it is. For such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. I'm thankful that tonight that this high priest, Jesus Christ, we're a bunch of Gentile dogs, lost, wretched, on our way to hell. But when he saved us, he pronounces and proclaims us clean. The great high priest, he died for my sins. But he arose, and now he's on the right hand of God, making intercession for you and I. He came for a purpose, for the cross. We find that he's in the midst of the people, meeting people in their needs. He hears our plea. He can be our high priest if we'll just come to him. But notice in verse 15 and 16, the praise and the thanks. He says, one of them, when he saw that it was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. It's the Greek word megas, where we get megaphone, or it's to be loud and to be boisterous. He forsake the nine. He wasn't ashamed to praise God. He wasn't praising God for the small things of his life, but he'd just been healed of leprosy. And we find that it says his faith has made him whole. It says he glorified God. The idea to value with great worth. What he was saying is, Jesus, I value you more than anything. You're the most important, the dearest, the most blessed thing in my life. Paul told us, wherefore, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whether we're down at the job, down at the mill or the factory, cleaning house, washing dishes, no matter where we're going, no matter what we're doing, you and I as a child of God should glorify Jesus Christ. He values Jesus, this priest, with the greatest of worth. He praises him and thanks him for what he's done for him. But notice the proclamation in verse 16. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, for he was a Samaritan. One commentator said of this verse, it's a picture of a worthless sinner coming and thanking God, who hath threw heaps of goodness and grace upon him. Just asking a question tonight. Has God threw heaps of goodness and grace upon you? 1 Thessalonians 5:8. The Bible tells us, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's our will. God wills in our life to give praise and thanks to Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:1-3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. You know, I believe that's where we are in America today. Just a bunch of unthankful, unholy Gentiles. I want to be like this one that comes back to give praise and the thanks for his purpose, for meeting me, for meeting people, for meeting a bunch of sinners, for hearing my prayer, for hearing my plea, and being my personal great high priest. Let's stand tonight. Misty, do you mind to come and play something on the piano? Father, we thank you tonight for the text of this one Samaritan that was faithful to praise and to return and to give thanks. God, I must admit that I've failed. I'm behind on my thanksgiving, and my unthankfulness, Father, is more than to be desired. And God, I just ask you that you would forgive me, and Father, that you would hear my plea and my prayer tonight. Father, no doubt in this congregation, those watching by the way of internet, are facing things, Father, that only you can fix, that only you can reach down and cure and mend. And I pray, Father, that you would just let us see that you are still in the midst. You are still in control. And God, you desire to meet us if we have that desire to meet you. God, I pray that you would help us I pray, Father, that you would encourage us. I pray, Father, that you would show us our wicked, ungodly hearts and reveal our hearts, that we could confess our sins, and Lord, that we could have a clean fellowship with our Savior. Maybe there's someone here this morning or tonight, Father, that's unsaved, that's never been redeemed. Maybe be under my sound of voice that's under conviction. I pray, Father, that you'd give them the faith to believe. God, we need your help. Father, we need you. Our family needs you. Our churches need you. I need you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to honor and adore your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Before we sing, I just want to tell you that I never want to be part of the nine. I always want to be the one that turns and praises Jesus for what he's done for me. And I just want to take the time to tell him thank you.
Amen.
I'm so unworthy, but I praise him tonight for loving
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
Once again, it seems so tall. I tried to climb it, but it seemed I'd surely fall. So once again, I called on Jesus, and just as always, I felt his presence.
Amen.
And like before, he's given victory one more time.
He was always standing
by my side.
The valley was
low and the river was wide. I want to thank him.
I want to
praise him one more. His grace has been sufficient, and like before, he's given victory one more time.
He was always
standing by my side
when the valley was low.
praise Him one more time.
Amen. Amen. Word of testimony tonight. All hearts and minds clear.
Gunn, I think we should praise God out loud and on purpose, whether we're feeling it or not.
Amen.
And so I'm just going to say, I thank God for saving me. I thank Him for moving in my life.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? I'm thankful for tribulation, because you know what? If it wasn't for the tribulation that I've been through with Sawyer and all the things that I've been through in my life, I never would have experienced the closeness and the peace of God like Amen. I have. And I want to just thank Him for being Him. I want to thank Him that He is altogether lovely.
Yes, sir.
He's been more good to me than I could ever deserve. And I just want to thank Him tonight.
Amen. Amen.
I want to thank the Lord for something that He showed me on the way here tonight. We probably all saw the rainbow as we were coming in. I was listening to a song, and it says there's never been a morning that His mercies weren't new.
Amen.
And I was sharing with Natalie. You know, there were some days that it felt like God's new mercies stopped on that Saturday morning last August. But I realized driving here tonight, if it weren't for those new mercies every morning, I wouldn't have been able to get out of the bed every day.
Amen.
I wouldn't have been able to go on. And so I'm just thankful that He's faithful, that Amen. His mercies are new every morning.
Amen. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Bless His name. Amen. 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 Anyone else? All hearts, minds clear. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. 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 Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Yes. Amen. Anyone else?
Recently, I had someone pass me by just hearing them talk. I don't know if they love or do the Lord, but they asked me, said, "Where is God in all this mess?" Whether I said, "God is the same place He was a minute ago. He didn't leave us." But I said, "This nation has walked away in some ways from Him." But I said, "I tell you one thing. There's only one way to heaven."
That's right.
And if you don't go through Christ, you're not going to be there. And she looked at me and walked away. But you know what? We never know when that possibility of where we can answer a question, where it will lead. In my singing all my life, I'll never forget from the time I was young growing up, I had someone tell me, "You don't know the seed." So every time I stood the piano and sung, every time I picked up a mic, I thank God that He gave me a voice to sing. But He also gave me a message to tell others what He done for me.
Amen.